RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
The T-Biz podcast delivers T-news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for T professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Each year, the T-Biz portal publishes the State of the Tea Industry Forecast, a forward-looking assessment of production, pricing, trade, and demand. We invite tea professionals across the value chain to review the findings and contribute their perspective. Your insights help refine the forecast before it is finalized on March 1st.
Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. The Hormuz crisis threatens global tea trade, with Kenya facing a sudden market shock as Gulf shipping routes collapse. Billions in duties may be returned to importers, including tea buyers. China's tea exports surged in 2025, with green tea dominance continuing as shipments reached 419,000 metric tons. Plus, data integrity at scale. Traceability is quickly becoming one of the defining challenges in the global tea trade. Consumers want to know where their tea comes from, how it was produced, and whether environmental and labor standards are being met. At the same time, governments are tightening regulations, brands are facing new compliance requirements, and importers are seeking better visibility into sourcing risks. The T-Biz State of the Industry 2026 report describes sustainability compliance as the transition from voluntary sustainability claims to verifiable supply chain data. What used to be marketing is now infrastructure. Companies are being asked not simply to say where tea comes from, but to prove it. That raises difficult operational questions. How do you maintain data integrity when thousands of smallholders are involved? What incentives ensure farmers participate accurately in traceability systems? And how do digital reporting systems integrate with the brokers, exporters, and auction markets that already structure the global tea trade? And perhaps most importantly, once this data exists, how does it move beyond storytelling to actually improve decision-making? Today's guest, Sam Lambert, co-founder of Zengate and architect of the Palmyra supply chain platform, works at the intersection of blockchain, geospatial verification, and agricultural supply chains. In this spotlight conversation, we explore how structured data from farm mapping to chain of custody records can transform traceability from a compliance burden into a far more powerful form of decision intelligence for global tea markets. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
The sudden closure of the Strait of Hormuz, one of the world's most critical maritime choke points, is sending shockwaves through the global tea trade. The narrow waterway connecting the Persian Gulf to the Arabian Sea handles a substantial share of shipping bound for Gulf markets, including tea destined for Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Iraq, and Pakistan. With commercial shipping now disrupted by escalating military conflict in the region, tea shipments from India, Sri Lanka, and East Africa to Iranian ports have effectively halted. Industry leaders warn that the consequence could be severe for producing countries that depend on Gulf markets. George Omoga, managing director of the East African Tea Trade Association, said the conflict could rapidly destabilize Kenya's export-driven tea sector. Quote, "The Iran war and the Middle East geopolitical conflict will make Kenya lose over 20% of the Middle East export market, and the logistics disruption caused by Iran blocking the Hormuz Strait may further impact the 40% exported to Pakistan," said Omoga. He warned that the combination of lost markets and disrupted shipping routes could produce cascading effects across the industry. Quote, "Logistics costs are likely to skyrocket with depressed demand at auction. This will negatively impact tea prices at the auction and smallholder farmers' income," end quote. Kenya's tea economy is heavily dependent on exports, with the Middle East and Pakistan among its largest markets. When these routes become unstable, the entire supply chain from auction clearance to smallholder payments can be affected. The Hormuz disruption is also compounding an already fragile situation between Kenya and Iran, where tea exports have been under strain. Such a major fraud scandal involving the Iranian importer Debj Tea Company erupted in 2023. Diplomatic negotiations between the two governments have tried to restore the trade relationship. Omoga confirmed that discussions through the Kenya-Iran Joint Commission have been ongoing. Quote, "The government formed the Joint Technical Committee to resolve the impasse and restore tea exports to Iran in August last year. I was a member of the JTC, and the matter has not been resolved," end quote. Now the outbreak of open conflict in the Gulf risks freezing trade altogether. The consequences extend far beyond Kenya. The Strait of Hormuz is a key artery for global energy flows, and disruptions there have already pushed oil prices higher, immediately raising costs for shipping lines and exporters. Higher fuel prices ripple directly into the tea trade through container freight rates, insurance premiums, and logistics surcharges. Shipping analysts warn that freight costs could climb rapidly if tankers and container vessels are forced to reroute around conflict zones or face increased insurance costs. The disruption also arrives at a time when global logistics networks are already strained. Attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea during the past year forced many vessels to divert around the Cape of Good Hope, dramatically increasing transit times between Asia, Europe, and Africa. Now, instability in the Gulf threatens yet another critical trade corridor. For tea exporters, the immediate effects are already becoming visible. The price of shipping a 20-foot container has surged from around $2,000 to $3,500 and may rise to $4,000, according to Drewry. The broader danger is the way instability can distort vessel deployment and weaken schedule integrity, writes Drury. If ships are delayed, held back, or rerouted to avoid high-risk areas, container positioning can become unbalanced and equipment availability can tighten. That, in turn, can reduce sailing reliability, extend transit times, and create uncertainty for exporters and buyers that depend on predictable delivery windows. Buyers in Gulf markets are delaying purchases, shipments are slowing, and auction demand may weaken as uncertainty spreads through trading houses and blending operations. With tea prices already under pressure in some producing regions, a sudden collapse in demand from major export destinations could push the market into a period of volatility. For smallholder farmers, particularly in Kenya, where millions depend on tea income, the consequences could be immediate. Business Insight. The crisis in Hormuz reveals just how dependent the global tea trade is on a handful of maritime choke points. From the Red Sea to the Strait of Hormuz, disruptions along these routes could quickly cascade through the entire supply chain. Modern trade runs on a highly concentrated logistics infrastructure. When those arteries are blocked, the impact travels quickly, from ports and brokers to auction floors and smallholder farms. And in a conflict-driven shipping crisis like this one, the biggest risk for the tea industry isn't just higher freight costs. It's the sudden loss of markets that exporters depend on to keep the global tea economy moving. A U.S. court has ordered the government to refund billions of dollars in tariffs imposed under President Donald Trump's emergency trade powers for goods shipped to the United States over the past year. Tea importers alone may have paid roughly $60 million in tariffs since the policy took effect in April 2025, money that could now be refunded if the ruling stands. Tea imports totaled about $590 million during the past 12 months. The estimated refund is based on a 10% flat rate, but importers of Chinese tea face much higher rates. The broader tariff system brought in $287 billion in tariff revenue in 2025, including $133.5 billion collected under the emergency authority that was later deemed illegal. The U.S. Court of International Trade ruled that the administration did not meet the legal requirements to use emergency powers for tariffs. The ruling orders the government to refund duties collected under that authority. Importers challenged the policy quickly, arguing that the administration had expanded the definition of emergency beyond what Congress intended. Many businesses later filed lawsuits. This week, the court stated that suing the government is not necessary to recover tariffs. Proof of payment is enough for a refund. For importers and tea brands, these refunds would essentially undo a year of increased import costs that affected the market through higher prices and pressure on profits. The U.S. imports all of its tea from countries like India, Kenya, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, and China. Even small tariff hikes can lead to high costs across the supply chain. It remains uncertain whether the decision will be appealed and how soon refunds will be issued. Business insight. For the tea trade, the bigger story might not be the refunds themselves. It's the volatility. Tea supply chains are already dealing with shipping disruptions in the Red Sea and the Strait of Hormuz, which have been rising freight costs amid geopolitical tensions that affect major consumer markets. Adding unpredictable tariff policies to that mix makes importers face a planning environment where costs can vary greatly from year to year. If the court's ruling stands, it could mark a turning point, prompting future administrations to think more carefully before using emergency powers to reshape global trade flows. For tea buyers, that stability alone might ultimately be more valuable than the refunds themselves. China's tea exports expanded sharply in 2025, reinforcing the country's position as the world's largest supplier of green tea and highlighting the growing geographic diversification of global tea demand. According to newly compiled export data distributed by CFNA, China shipped 419 million kilograms of tea in 2025, an increase of 12.1% over 2024. The growth was driven overwhelmingly by green tea. Green tea exports totaled 369 million kilograms, accounting for 88% of all tea shipped from China and rising 14% year over year. The scale of that dominance is striking. Nearly 9 of every 10 kilos of green tea exported worldwide was shipped by China last year. Black tea, by comparison, remains a much smaller segment of China's export portfolio. Shipments totaled 26.2 million kilograms, representing about 6.3% of exports, though the category still recorded a respectable 6% increase over the previous year. Oolong tea exports moved in the opposite direction. Shipments declined 9.8% to 13.9 million kilograms, reflecting weaker demand in some traditional markets and shifting trade dynamics across East Asia. Taken together, the numbers underscore a structural reality of the global tea market. China is not competing directly with the world's major black tea exporters such as India, Kenya, and Sri Lanka. Instead, China dominates the global green tea trade, supplying markets across North Africa, the Middle East, and increasingly Western Africa. Morocco remained China's single largest export destination in 2025. Imports there reached 91.6 million kilograms, up 13.6%, reinforcing Morocco's role as one of the world's most important green tea markets. Chinese tea is a central ingredient in Morocco's traditional mint tea culture, and demand has remained consistently strong. Morocco has a population of 40 million people, but supplies tea across North Africa, which is home to 279 million people. The most striking developments in the export data came from emerging African markets. Shipments to Côte d'Ivoire surged more than 300%, while exports to Chad rose roughly 147%, reflecting rapid growth in West African tea consumption. These markets are still relatively small compared with Morocco, but their growth rates point to an important trend: the continued expansion of tea consumption across Africa, where population growth and urbanization are increasing demand for affordable beverage staples. For global tea traders, China's export growth also highlights the size of the country's production system. China's tea industry operates at a scale unmatched by any other producing nation, with large volumes of green tea moving through domestic processing and export channels each year. This production scale enables Chinese exporters to supply large markets consistently and at competitive prices, especially in the green tea segment. As a result, a global tea market has developed, with different producing regions specializing in distinct styles. India, Kenya, and Sri Lanka remain the main suppliers of black tea to many markets, while China dominates the green tea trade across North Africa, parts of the Middle East, and West Africa. As demand continues to rise across Africa and emerging markets, China's export trajectory indicates that green tea will remain one of the most dynamic segments of the global tea trade in coming years. Tea auctions closed week 9 broadly steady across Colombo, North India, Mombasa, and Indonesia, but dispersion inside catalogs continued to widen. Benchmark averages remain range-bound, yet price realization is increasingly determined on an invoice-by-invoice basis. Premium well-made teas cleared competitively, particularly brighter liquoring, high-grown, and consistently liquidity grades, while secondary and mixed descriptions met selective demand or discounted outcomes. In Colombo, demand remains strongest for high-grown Roveine and well-made orthodox teas, with premiums sustained on brighter liquoring invoices. Medium and lower elevation teas cleared selectively. Premium small leaf and bolder varieties yielded firmer outcomes, while average teas required price alignment to clear efficiently. The weekly average was $4.17 per kilo. That's down 1 cent from the prior week. In North India, Assam liquidity grades continued to anchor benchmark formation. Cleaner and well-made invoices cleared at firm to steady levels, while plainer teas met selective demand. Domestic absorption remained stable, and exporters continue to operate with discipline. Prices averaged approximately $2.93 per kilo in week 9, down 1 cent from the prior week. In East Africa, good demand prevailed, with improved absorption and the unsold percentage narrowing to approximately 17%. The all-auction average hammer price firmed by 1 cent to close at $2.20 per kilo. BP1 and PF1 categories showed firm to dearer tendencies, particularly for brighter liquoring teas. Auction trade in Indonesia remained selective, with steadier to easier rates across orthodox and CTC categories. A meaningful portion of invoices remained unsold, reinforcing cautious and specification-led buying behavior. Prices averaged approximately $1.18 per kilo, down 1 cent from the prior week. Across the four benchmarks, premium clean manufactured tea continues to compete competitively, while undifferentiated tea increasingly trades at a discount or on deferral. Visit teajourney.pub and select Tea Price Report for a detailed regional breakdown, 6-month trade signals, and near-term outlook for quarter one pricing dynamics. That's the TBiz Price Report for week 9 ending 27 February 2026. And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steeps simply and conveniently.
Traceability is rapidly becoming one of the defining structural challenges in the global tea trade. Consumers increasingly want to know where their tea comes from, how it was produced, and whether environmental and labor standards are being met. At the same time, governments are tightening regulatory oversight, brands are facing new compliance obligations, and importers are seeking better visibility into the risks embedded in complex global supply chains. The TBiz State of the Industry 2026 forecast identifies this shift as Trend 9, sustainability compliance. The transition from voluntary sustainability claims to verifiable supply chain data. What was once a marketing narrative is becoming a core operational requirement. Companies are being asked not simply to say where tea comes from, but to demonstrate it with auditable evidence. That transition raises a series of practical questions for the industry. How do companies maintain data integrity when supply chains involving thousands of smallholders cross multiple geographies? What incentives encourage reliable farmer participation in traceability systems? And how can digital reporting platforms integrate with the brokers, exporters, and auction systems that already structure global tea markets? And perhaps most importantly, once this information exists, how does it move beyond storytelling to generate better commercial decisions? In this TBiz Spotlight, I speak with Samuel Lambert, co-founder of Zengate and architect of the Palmyra Supply Chain Platform, about the infrastructure needed to operationalize transparency at scale. Lambert's work sits at the intersection of blockchain verification, geospatial farm mapping, and agricultural supply chain analytics. His company builds systems designed to capture and verify production data as it moves from farm to exporter to brand. The goal is not simply traceability for its own sake. It is the creation of structured data environments capable of transforming fragmented agricultural supply chains into systems that generate real-time operational intelligence, improving compliance, forecasting, and risk management across global tea markets. Samuel Lambert is a supply chain technology entrepreneur and co-founder of Zengate Global, developer of the Palmyra platform, a digital infrastructure designed to capture, verify, and structure agriculture supply chain data. Lambert's work focuses on building traceability systems that integrate farmers, cooperatives, exporters, and brands into unified data environments that support regulatory compliance and operational decision-making. His projects span multiple commodities, including coffee, cocoa, honey, and tea, and often involve mapping farms, verifying production data, and integrating satellite, geospatial, and blockchain technologies into existing trade systems. Much of his work has taken place in emerging agricultural markets in Africa and Southeast Asia, where fragmented supply chains make reliable data capture particularly challenging. Lambert advocates a pragmatic approach to transparency, one that strengthens existing commercial infrastructure while enabling new forms of decision intelligence built on verified supply chain data. He's a graduate of the Australian National University, where he studied economics and design. Thanks so much for coming on the TBiz podcast, Sam.
Thanks for having me, Dan. It's been a while, I think, since I was last on here, but yeah, looking forward to having this conversation with you.
At pilot scale, transparency looks compelling. When thousands of smallholders are involved across multiple geographies, how do you prevent data dilution, manipulation, or simple entropy?
This is a really important question. Lots of brands and businesses have been asking us for a while. And, you know, everyone likes to know where things are from. And one of the things we like to say at our company has been around like proof and verify, you know, at the core. Everyone can make claims about where something's from or what's happened to it, but you really need to be able to back it up with strong evidence. And, you know, strong evidence often in our case means having visibility to the data itself, but just having access to the data, like you said, doesn't necessarily mean it's correct. And, you know, when you build systems like this, you firstly have to account for human error. And also, you have to also account for the things that we probably don't like to talk too openly about, which is fraud and misuse. We like to say who, what, where, when, and why, right? And ask those basic questions. And, you know, when people are logging in inputs, how do we ensure that that person is who they actually say they are? And there are technologies you can use to verify that, biometrics, fingerprints, and photo scans, and different credentialing technologies. How do you know that someone's submitting the data from the right place, which is the where component? We've worked with different clients in the past where, whether it's for deforestation purposes, where you have to map farms, or you have to map the GPS coordinates of beehives, there are lots of different steps that you can do to make sure as information gets captured is being verified in real time. But you can also layer it as well later down the line with different third parties. Everyone wants transparency until they realize how complex it can be. But there are solutions that bring that sort of trust back into the system significantly more than just claiming that something is what it is. So I'm quite excited by the change in tone from the people we speak to about wanting these solutions. And I do think there's a path forward where as an industry, we can get significantly more transparent, especially upstream where the farmers are based. That's where you see the biggest impact, but also the biggest risks as well you have to think about.
Transparency depends on reliable participation by farmer and that compliance would drive adoption. But what incentives actually work?
3 months ago, I probably would have given you a different response. And maybe 3 months back, my view on this stuff around incentives and why people act on it was compliance driven. You know, we've been seeing a lot of compliance drivers, such as the European Union's deforestation regulation, which still seems like it will take place, being a primary driver to actually start moving on traceability rollouts and solutions. Now that I've been having several different conversations on top of the compliance bit, I think the primary driver why people want this is actually the downstream actors. So the importers, the traders, the procurement centers and the brands, they want transparency. And it's a completely different reason why they want it now, which is perhaps before it was just around the storytelling or just around the compliance factors, but it is much more significant than that. I think there's a huge risk in upstream sort of part of the supply chain. And when we talk about incentives, we typically think, how do we get a farmer to sign up? How do we get them to give us the data? How do we then verify that? And it puts a lot of pressure and burden on the farmers. And I think it's a shared burden. But the biggest responsibility and the biggest gain is happening in the up in the downstream side, in the brands, importers, traders. They're the ones that benefit most from having access to this. And so when we go and speak to the farmers, what we've noticed is the conversation that you have with them is not so much, hey, we're going to promise you financial access, or we're going to promise you premiums, or we're going to promise you inputs. And that's not the conversation you have. And what we've found to be super successful, and this has worked for thousands of farmers just in the last few months in some of the projects we've worked on, is that these, and you say, look, we want to give you visibility. We're not promising you anything. It's not being forced. And you don't have to participate in this model. But we want to give you visibility. And the risk of not having the visibility is that the buyers will look at these regions and say, these are non-transparent regions. We will not source from here. And so the biggest risk is actually being left out in a system that they are partially in or already in. This is not meant to be some threat or some, you know, big doomsday situation. It's a very solvable problem. And we come in there and say, look, we're going to give you visibility so that these brands and these buyers know where you are. They also know who you are. And really the crux of all of this is, how can we help strengthen your relationship that you have with the farmers and vice versa? And at the end of the day, these brands, importers, traders, and the procurement centers and so forth, these businesses that are purchasing from these farmers and farming cooperatives, they understand the situation. The farmers want to get paid more. They also want to help support increase in yield, increase in outputs, the more stable, consistent supply they can get their hands on people they trust is super helpful for their business. And so these are the types of conversations we have. We can't promise them anything up front, but what we can promise is that we can give them visibility. And through that, you build the relationship. And that itself could be the gateway that opens up access to different sorts of inputs or education, and opportunities that at the end of the day result in more income and more access to the people that need it most. So that's typically how we do it. And we've found that to be really effective, at least in the last few months that we've been deploying these solutions.
Brokers and exporters already provide aggregation, financing, and quality assurance. How does a digital system integrate without disrupting those functions?
I think it's really important to just state that, like, these actors within the supply chain exist for a reason, and they're specialists. You know, they provide a very important service. They're very important in the supply chain. They act as an aggregator of lots of different suppliers. They ensure the quality gets standardized, gets checked in the right way that the end buyers want. And when we think about the solutions, and you know, when we ask ourselves the question, how do you provide transparency such that the entire supply chain can benefit? Really, the big thing we think about is how do you give people access to the data as it passes through, right? How do you ensure they can participate in this model and benefit from it? You know, at the same time, an exporter is reliant on the farmers and the farming cooperatives to actually collect this information. So when you build solutions out like this, you need to work with them. You need to be able to make sure that as they're purchasing, they're incentivized to purchase from the people that have the data and so forth. But equally, the brokers and exporters need to be able to share that as it comes through. Not only the bit that they collected as it came through their gate, but the exporters and brokers also might do their own set of tests, right? Within their own warehouse, within their own laboratories, as it gets ready to be imported. We're not here to completely overhaul the industry. We're here to work with the people that are already here, especially the ones that have been here investing in their own technologies for the past decades, right? We're not here to overhaul that. We're here to amplify and expand on the bits where the gaps exist. And so I think of it more as working within the existing system as opposed to overhauling it. And by doing so, you increase the value of the entire set of actors that are participating in that supply chain.
Commodity markets are highly competitive. How do you balance transparency with legitimate concerns about confidentiality and pricing and contracts?
We use a blend of different technologies, and blockchain is one of the sort of the core technologies we do rely on, especially when it comes to transparency, because once you start putting information on the blockchain, it remains there forever. And really the premise around that is that it's immutable, it's unchangeable, and there's a clear stamp of record once you have submitted that information. How do you balance privacy of the information that you are collecting? And I think I can sort of talk to that with sort of the question you asked, because a lot of these larger brands, they want to keep sort of sourcing strategies private, and they don't want other competitors to know where they're getting everything from, how they're doing it, at what price, and so forth. So I think it's a balance, right? And sort of depending on who you work with, you'll find that the tolerance of how much they want to share really ultimately sits on a big scale. You have people that want to be radically transparent, where they want to put everything, publicly, in terms of how much they're paying, when they're paying, who they're paying, and so forth. And then the complete opposite side is, you know, we want to abstract some of the details out. You know, maybe we want to provide an average, or we want to provide a range of how we're sourcing or paying, and so forth. And eventually, these things will converge to a point. Whether it's fully radical or it's completely not radical, which is sort of more or less what it is today, or something that sits either in between. And what you need to do is, you can't be dogmatic about saying you have to put everything publicly and you have to be radically transparent, because what you'll find is that there are people that are not ready for that. But rather, if you come at it with a, hey, there's a spectrum in which you can collect all of the information. You can just share parts of it as well with the actors that you work with. And that itself is significantly better than the situation that we're in today. From a business point of view, totally understandable as well. And so we do get in a situation where, you know, eventually, you know, as more people participate and provide information in a public way, from an economics point of view, the markets will become more efficient. But you don't have a situation like that where you can manage your risk in the same way you can in coffee markets or in other commodity markets. And so you're stuck in a situation where, because of a lack of transparency, you don't know fully in real time how much production is in play, how much is coming up, how much is in store, how much hasn't been sold. Yeah, you could probably piece a lot of the stuff together as you go, and you can call people up to try to get a good understanding of what's happening on the ground. But in general, it's a much harder market to price risk and to manage risk in the same way you can with coffee. By not being transparent, you don't have access to the entire sort of value of the supply chain in the way that you could.
Where does structured supply chain data actually translate into real operational advantages?
I think the downstream actors, the brands, the importers, traders, the procurement centers, really, I think the most valuable thing for them is around sustainability, not just from climate or ESG point of view, but sustainability from the point of view of consistent quality and volumes that they can get access to. Because without that, without a strong sort of way of sourcing and procuring the right stuff at the right time, the right quality and the right quantities, these businesses are subject to huge risks. It can make or break a business at the end of the day. So, and having structured supply chain data means that in a structured way, you can understand what is going on in real time. There's processing, there's drying, there's batching, there's grading, there's auctions, there's a lot of stuff that happens along the way. And typically you only get snippets of information as you go at the bigger checkpoints, and that's too late. And so being able to see it up front is really where the huge sort of decision-making value unlocks itself, whether that's from a risk point of view, the pricing strategy point of view as you head into negotiations, and so forth. So that you can do without AI. The AI might be able to do some smart models on top of it to help with yields, to verify stuff. But really where I see the biggest value uplift when we think about AI is in the data that you're capturing. And so people often talk about AI models, which is, you know, the models that underpin different solutions that people use, whether that ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude and so forth. These are the model companies like OpenAI. And then the other bit that people often talk about is energy, right? So how do you make sure that it's cost efficient enough to actually run AI and sort of sustainable to do so? But But the third bit that people talk about less is the proprietary data sets that feed into the models, that inform the models. And where I see the biggest opportunity, especially in agricultural markets and supply chains, is that there's so much data missing. We don't deserve to talk about AI yet because we're missing all this data that could be used to feed the AI in the first place. And where I see the biggest opportunity is upstream data. It's fragmented, it's complex. Everyone has slightly different processes. It's unstructured. Like, that's what's missing. And if we can solve that problem, which we are, and others are as well, and it's solvable, you're now sitting on a sea of information that's not just like a one-time piece of data, but rolling, constantly changing every single day, updating, new records coming through, millions and millions and millions of events. And that's what I think is the goldmine that as an industry we're sitting on, which is we're now in a position where we can have a way to capture it, have a way to verify it, and have a way to leverage it where everyone can benefit. And if we have that, we can feed that into the various models that everyone else has been working on. And I think we can see huge value accrual. And to all these other service providers that you talked about, Dan, at the very beginning of the call, the startup that's using AI to help with sorting of green leaf before it goes onto the withering trays that you plug into the system. It's the IoT sensors you can put in the factories. If you have the infrastructure to collect the data and you have a way to feed that in and leverage AI, that I think is where the biggest value uplift occurs. And that's the direction that we're heading in. And I get very excited when I think about that.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and T-experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.